Let's have a word of prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this day. We thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for your word of truth. We pray now your spirit of truth would guide us into truth, dear Heavenly Father. Give us a spiritual understanding. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Today I want to look at the topic, how should Christians respond to the coronavirus? As the news reports each day heighten the degree of pending sickness and potential death from the coronavirus, and as our economy downturns toward recession or even worse, fears are heightened. As of this date, March 24, 2020, there are over 35,000 cases of coronavirus in the U.S. and 500 deaths. The worldwide pandemic is growing, and no one on this earth knows how severe it will be, yet become or when it will end. While we yearn for a return to normalcy of life, only fruit basket upset seems in store for now. Psychologists say buck up. Think of something pleasant, or read a novel or watch a movie. In other words, just escape from reality and it will all work out in the end. The bottom line, friends, is their advice is worthless. It doesn't change reality or really relieve any fears we have. In truth, only God and His Word can provide any true help in time of trials and troubles such as the coronavirus, and Christians are the only people of any real comfort and consolation to offer to the world in trying circumstances such as these. I remember reading Sabina Wurmbrand's book, The Pastor's Wife, on her three-year imprisonment under communist rule in Romania, and Corrie ten Boom's book, The Hiding Place, and her imprisonment during Hitler's German Nazism. With all the suffering and death around them, both women said the same thing. It was only the Christians during that time that held things together and were sought out by unbelievers for consolation. As Christians, we are finite human beings, just like all other people, and we are prone to fear, as others do, over trials, potential sickness, pending death, and the unknown, such as the coronavirus. Our faith is tested, and we need to respond differently than the unbelieving world around us. We need to evidence the reality of our faith. As it says in Romans 12:2, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, you may prove it as a good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That is why in times like these, we need to immerse ourselves in the prophet Habakkuk, and we need to learn from him how to respond properly and godly to the scare such as the coronavirus. I would encourage each of you to read this short three-chapter book, and I'm going to just highlight a few verses here before we go any further. The burden which the prophet Habakkuk saw. O Lord, how long shall I cry, and you will not hear, even cry out to you violence, and you will not save? Why do you show me iniquity and cause me to see trouble? For plundering and violence are before me, there is strife and contention arises. That's chapter 1, 1 through 3. And then chapter 1, verse 12. Are you not from everlasting, O Lord my God, my Holy One? We shall not die, O Lord. You have appointed them for judgment. O rock, you have marked them for correction. Chapter 2, verse 1, 2, and 3. I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart and watch to see what he will say to me and what I will answer when I'm corrected. Then the Lord answered me, write the vision, make it plain on tablets, that he may run who reads it, for the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak and it will not lie, though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry. Chapter 3, verse 2. O Lord, I've heard your speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive your work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make it known. In wrath, remember mercy. Chapter 3, verse 16. When I heard, my body trembled. My lips quivered at the voice. Rottenness entered my bones, and I trembled in myself. And then chapter 3, verses 17 through 19. Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He'll make my feet like deer's feet. He'll make me walk on my high hills. Habakkuk wrote this oracle or burden or prophecy, as it says in chapter 1, verse 1, between 605 and 600 B.C. The Battle of Carchemish had occurred in 605 B.C., and Pharaoh Necho of Egypt, who had come to assist the Syrians against the Babylonians, was defeated by Nebuchadnezzar II. Nebuchadnezzar II then turned his Neo-Babylonian pagan merciless army horde against Judah in chapter 1, verses 5 through 17. This coincided with a time of spiritual apostasy in Judah, and God using the more evil Babylonians as his instrument of judgment against the evil apostate Judahites. Habakkuk, God's prophet, interacted with God's revelation to him on Judah's imminent doom. In chapters 1 and 2, Habakkuk interacted with God with an improper viewpoint. Then in chapter 3, Habakkuk came to a true spiritual viewpoint on how to react to all frowning providences. May God's Spirit teach us from Habakkuk to respond to the coronavirus scare as the Habakkuk of chapter 3 and not as the Habakkuk of chapters 1 and 2. May we, by God's grace, be the Habakkuks, the Sabinas, and the Corrie Ten Booms that our loved ones and the fearful world needs at this time that tries our soul. May we be living epistles of the gospel and point people to Jesus. Our topic today is, how should Christians respond to the coronavirus? The first point is the trying, chapters 1 and 2. It has been said that history is God's story. Everything that happens in this world is under God's sovereign control. Colossians 1:17, He's before all things, and by Him all things consist. Acts 15:18, known unto God are all His works from all eternity. There are no contingencies, surprises, seemingly unexpected occurrences to God. Everything without exception is planned and determined by Him. As we sing, My Father planned it all. John Calvin said God's predetermining everything is nothing more than the declaration of the supreme dominion of God. While Habakkuk knew that, he also knew Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. God said, My thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. God's ways are often mysterious to us as humans. The question arises, why does God allow these things, these pagan Babylonian hordes, to run roughshod over His people? Even if they are sinning, they are still less evil than the Babylonians. Why does God allow the coronavirus to run roughshod over humanity, even killing Christians? Like us, friends, Habakkuk had questions and he wanted answers, and he wanted them now. So he entered into a question and answer session with God. The prophet's first question was in chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. Then the Lord's reply was in chapters 1, 5 through 11. Then the prophet's second question was in chapter 1, verses 12 through 17. And then in chapter 2, verse 1, Habakkuk waits on his watchtower for God's second reply in chapter 2, verses 2 and following. Habakkuk was puzzled by God's unusual instrument, the Babylonians, as we can be puzzled by the coronavirus. Habakkuk was puzzled by the unexpected of God's providence. Friends, when is God's timetable ever our timetable as to when and how and for how long? Daniel 4:35, all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and He doeth according to His will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can say unto Him, What are you doing? Habakkuk was puzzled by God's inaction as to preventing or limiting the Babylonian merciless invasion of Judah. We need to remember at all times with God's sovereignty, Psalm 50, verse 21. These things you have done, and I kept silent, and you thought I was altogether such a one as yourself, but I will reprove you and set things in order. Friends, with the coronavirus pandemic, we can truly say these are times that try men's souls. We must remember that all the why questions end at the sovereignty of God. As W.G.T. Shedd said, God's sovereignty means He's independent, He's supreme, and He has optional power. That is, He has the ability to act or not to act in any given situation. God can either cause the coronavirus pandemic to end now, continue indefinitely, or to get worse or better, all at his discretion according to his will and his alone. Psalm 115:3, our God is in the heavens, he does whatsoever he wills. We must be very cognizant of the fact that God is God, and his ways are often mysterious to us, and so trying to us in our humanness. We must remind ourselves that all of history, events that occur under his sovereign hand, and that the pagan world and false religions will always misunderstand God's ways. We must be careful that our questions, such as those that Habakkuk has in chapters 1 and 2, don't smack of an anthropocentric or a man-centered worldview that looks at things primarily from the horizontal, this earth, and thus lacks faith in the sovereign God over all things. Why should Christians respond to the coronavirus? The first point is the trying. The second point is the testing, chapters 1 and 2. Picture Habakkuk on his watchtower in chapter 2, verse 1. Picture him picturing the Babylonian hordes in view and ready to ransack Judah and killing even the prophet himself. This was truly a test of faith. A faith without testing, friends, is no faith at all. A faith that is real is a tested faith. A faith that has faced troubles and obstacles and then has been strengthened by them to proof that the faith is real. When problems arise, where do we immediately look for answers? Do we look to the government? Do we run to the grocery store and hoard the toilet paper, the hand sanitizers, and the soup cans? One Walmart employee said a lady showed up and took 96 cans of corn. For a Christian, friends, to hoard, that means to take an excessive supply of a store item in a time of crisis and shortages, is to be non-Christian. As Christians, we love the brethren. 1 John 3:14, we know that we pass from death to life because we love the brethren. We love others with an agape love, a Christian love, a self-sacrificing love, a love that puts other interests above our own and their welfare above our own, and we even love our enemies. In 1 John 4:20-21, if someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. So a Christian takes a couple cans of corn and leaves the other 93 for others to take. To live in times of testing, such as the coronavirus, we must remind ourselves first of the character of God, as Habakkuk did. As Andrew Fuller said, almost all the errors in the world proceed from ignorance of the character of God. In chapter 1, verse 12, Habakkuk said, God is eternal. He has no beginning or end. In verses 12 and 13, he said, God is holy. He hates evil, and he can do no evil. He hates our sin. It's a cosmic treason to God, and God has positive moral excellence in everything he does. God is almighty. He's the rock. In chapter 1, verse 12, it means the surpassing greatness of his power, and his greatness is unsearchable, as it says in Psalm 145:3, and Deuteronomy 32:4, it says, God is the rock, his way is perfect, his way is justice and without injustice, righteous and upright is he. God is just, he's the judge, he's faithful. In chapter 1, verse 12, he will do as he says. God is self-existent, chapter 1, verse 12, and chapter 2, verse 2 and 14. Exodus 3:14, I am who I am, means God is self-existent. He is not answerable to anybody. Second, at a time like this, in trials, testings, when our faith is tested by these trying circumstances, we must bring the problem to God and wait on him. Waiting on God is a metaphor for faith in the Old Testament. Though we mount up with wings as eagles, we will wait on the Lord. We will run and not be weary. We shall run and not faint. Though he asks us to wait, God is never late. We need to be patient while we are in God's waiting room. 1 Peter 1:5 says, cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Friends, how often when confronted with a test of faith, such as the coronavirus, we try to address the problem horizontally before we ever think of bringing the problem to God and praying. In Acts 1:11, when Ananias was told by God to seek out Saul of Tarsus, who was now a saved man, he says, "You'll find him praying." That's one of the first marks of a Christian. And Luke 18:1 says, "We pray without fainting." And Luke 18:7, God says that his elect cry out to him day and night, which means they pray to him incessantly, 24/7, 365. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, "We pray without ceasing." Howard Hendricks, who used to teach at Dallas Theological Seminary, says, "Prayer is the recognition that our need of God is not partial, but total." Philippians 4, 6, and 7, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Friends, watch and wait for God's answers. 1 John 5:14 and 15. And this is a confidence we have in him. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we've asked of him. The great ground of our contentment in all circumstances is found in Psalm 73, 25 and 26. "Whom have I in heaven but thee? There is none upon earth I desire besides thee. My flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart, and he is my portion forever." Friends, is God our portion at this time of the coronavirus? Is our contentment in him? Are we satisfied that all that he has for us in Jesus? Is he our rest? Are we resting in him and his will and his way, even during the coronavirus scare? How should Christians respond to the coronavirus? First point is the testing. They're trying. The second point is the testing. And the third point is the triumphing. The triumphing is in chapter 3. The true character of prayer is brought out in Habakkuk chapter 3. And there's three elements of prayer: humility, adoration, and petition. Chapter 3, verse 2, "O Lord, I've heard your speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive your work in the midst of the years, and in the midst of the years make it known. In wrath, remember mercy." The first element of the true character of prayer is humility. And Augustine said, the first, second, and third virtue of Christianity is humility. In the Beatitudes of Matthew 5, 3 through 12, the eight characteristics of a Christian, the first one is, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." And that is not there by accident. The first characteristic of a Christian is humility. The prophet's viewpoint now in chapter 3 is spiritual. It's not horizontal. There's no arguing with God. There's no questioning of God. There's no looking for a way out of the Babylonian trouble. There's no espousing his own or Judah's merit. Rather, there's a recognition that God is just and God does right. It's just like Abraham in Genesis 18 when the Lord was on his way to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. In John 18:25, Abraham said, "Shall not the God of all the earth do right?" Friends, God is pure. He's sinless. And Habakkuk and Judah are sinners, and so they deserve God's justice, his judgment on their sin, just as America does in each of us. 1 John 1:8, "If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us." Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Here in chapter 3 is a complete submission to God and his sovereign will and ways. Habakkuk's not looking for a political solution, but he puts the primacy on the spiritual. Friends, how about us during this coronavirus pandemic? Where do we put the primacy? The second element of the true character of prayer is adoration. In chapter 3, verse 2, the word "afraid" there, is there fear of the Babylonians? Yes. Look at chapter 3, verse 16. Habakkuk said, "When I heard, my body trembled. My lips quivered at the voice. Rottenness entered my bones, and I trembled in myself." In other words, Habakkuk's knees were knocking when he was on his watchtower. He was almost unable to stand. But the emphasis here on this verse in the Hebrew is on the fear of God, reverential awe. It's like in Hebrews 12, 28 and 29, seeing then that we have received a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. In Job 28:28, the theme verse of Job, to man he said, "The fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding." John Murray, in his book, Concepts of Ethics, he says that the fear of God is the soul of godliness. The soul of godliness. It's a profound sense of the majesty of God, and then the awe that results in us from that. To have no awe of God, to have no fear of God, that's Romans 3:18. There was no fear of God before them, and that is a definition of sin. The third characteristic in Habakkuk chapter 3 and the true character of prayer is petition. Friends, true prayer starts with God, and the end of the prayer comes to us, our petitions, our supplications, our requests to God. Habakkuk recounts God's act in the past in chapter 3, verses 3 through 16. God divided the Red Sea. He halted the sun. He parted the Jordan River at flood stage. Question arises, do we have a sanctified memory at this time of the coronavirus scare? In Peter, 2 Peter 1, 12 through 15, the Apostle Peter told the believers there that even though they knew things, he would still remind them of them. And he repeats the word remind there three times. He raises it to superlative of emphasis. Why do we need reminders? Why do we need a sanctified memory? It's because we are creatures of decay and we tend to forget. And if we forget, that in the Old Testament is the basis of apostasy. A godly remembrance of the past provides us then with courage, with calm at this time of the coronavirus scare. In chapter 3, verse 2, the word revive means to preserve, to keep alive. Habakkuk then told God, God, please preserve your people. God was a covenant God, and Judah was under God's covenanting. In Jeremiah 30, verse 11, God told his people who he was in covenant with that he would not destroy them completely as he did those pagan nations around them, but he would preserve a remnant. But it also means that word revive, to purify, correct, to get rid of evil. God's aim is always to purify his church. Ephesians 5, 25-27, and Matthew 5, 8, in the Beatitudes, characteristics of Christians, says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. 1 Peter 1, 15 and 16, but as he who has called you is holy, so be holy in all manner of behavior. As it is written, be holy, for I am holy. In Hebrews 12, 6 and 7, and then verses 8 and 10, it says this. Hebrews 12, 6 and 7, for whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Verse 10, for we indeed, he chastens us for a few days, as seems best. They chasten us for a few days, as seems best to them. But God, for our profit, that we may become partakers of his holiness. Friends, until we put God first, submit to his word, commit ourselves unreservedly to him, and repent of our sins daily, we have no right to look for relief from the coronavirus pandemic or any of our other earthly troubles. Our prayer should always be as Habakkuk's final appeal. In wrath, remember mercy at the end of chapter 3, verse 2. Then, like Habakkuk, we can rejoice in triumph and over the tribulations such as the coronavirus. We can extol his hymn of triumph in chapter 3, verses 17 through 19. Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 17 through 19. Habakkuk's hymn of faith. Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit beyond the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, Though the flock may be cut off from the fold and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet, and he will make me walk on my high hills. Martin Lloyd-Jones defines joy as that complete satisfaction, mind, heart, emotions, will, and desire. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Philippians 4:4 and Nehemiah 8:10, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Joy comes from Jesus. John 15:11. Friends, is our faith and contentment in Jesus? Are we experiencing his joy even at this time? Do we have a complete satisfaction? Mind, heart, emotions, desires, and will? Is Jesus our strength? 1 Peter 1:11 says, the Holy Spirit gave testimony of the sufferings of Christ and the glory that would follow. We know a biblical principle is the pathway to glory is through suffering. This is a sin-cursed world. This world suffers, and we will suffer on our way to glory. Acts 14:22, we are pointed to these tribulations. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer, it says in 2 Timothy 3:12. If we have our faith and contentment in Jesus and he is our joy, then we can truly experience that hymn of faith that we cited of Habakkuk in chapter 3, 17 through 19, even in trying times such as the coronavirus scare. How should Christians respond to the coronavirus? 3 points: the trying, the testing, and the triumphing. Thank God that in our human weaknesses and our problems and in dealing with adverse circumstances such as the coronavirus pandemic, we can always turn to Jesus and know that he was tempted in all points like as we are. There is no trouble that we see that he has not already seen, been there, done that. And he's always there to help us in Hebrews 2:18. And at the end of chapter 13, verse 5, Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. During this coronavirus scare, may we sing, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. When darkness seems to hide his face, I rest in his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. His oath, his covenant, his blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word of truth. Thank you for Habakkuk. Thank you for his message of hope, dear Heavenly Father, amidst all the trials and troubles that he went through. Help us, dear Heavenly Father, to keep our eyes on you, to look away from everything else, to focus on your character and your faithfulness to us, your people. We thank you for faith in Jesus, salvation in him, and the promise that he will never leave us nor forsake us, even during things such as the coronavirus scare. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And all of God's people said, amen.